I said this is about reality. And most people, everybody knows in my travels, and I'm in the world a lot. I preach on the street a lot. Everybody knows that this world's turning upside down. Everybody. Even youth. They just know. I mean, I liken it. God is so good to us. There's just things that He does. It's like, I asked some people this morning, and I said, hey, is there anybody here that ever hunted? And if there's any hunters in here and you were serious about hunting, you knew, the animals knew where to go at all times, especially when storms were coming. And listen, everybody, there's a great storm coming, the storm of judgment. It's coming. And God has put something in the air. I believe that with all my heart. They feel the oppression. I believe that's the oppression from the devil. You know what? Satan's wrath is great because he knoweth he hath but a short time. And just everybody knows, almost without knowing, that there's something going on. And yet in the midst of it, even those people that deny it, they don't deny it wholeheartedly. It's like halfway, well, you know. Whereas before they were so strong in giving their opinion with a clenched fist and hitting it on something. Not anymore. And I see a lot, I deal with a lot of people. And most people want to stay in that fuzzy good place. That's why drugs are so big. That's why alcohol is still so big. Ecclesiastes 1:18 says, with much wisdom comes much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. The reality of this life is great, everybody. And you know, I know the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. The Bible says it's better to go to the house of mourning. You know what? Because God can work and He can do things. And He'll equip us and He'll enable us to go through this, because there is a finish line. And we just sang about the great place that we're all going to be one day. No fallen nature anymore, no sin-cursed world. It's going to be good, and the place is called heaven. But there's still a lot of work to be done, I do believe. But we're getting close. You know what I mean? It's between you and the Lord. I won't lose sleep if your self-esteem isn't great. I won't lose sleep if your bank account isn't where it should be. I won't lose sleep if, you know, your neighbors aren't looking at you like you'd like them to. But I will lose sleep with the thought of anybody not being in heaven. Because there's a place called hell. And you know, people are funny. They really are. They're fickle. They're strange. I'm one of them. My hand's always up first. How do I know these things? I just look at myself, look at my heart, and then of course God, He emphasizes it, all that we are or are not, all that's in our hearts. But you know what, Matthew chapter 11, you don't have to go there, but in verses 18 and 19, it says, for John came neither eating nor drinking, John the Baptist. You know what, he came on the scene and he was the forerunner of Christ and he warned people. I mean, he had a ministry of warning people, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Make fruits meet for repentance. You better show some evidence that you have turned to this God. Because truth of it is, God has given us things within us. Romans 12:3, everybody's blessed with a measure of faith. John 1:9, he was the true light. Christ, true light. Satan's a lesser light. But the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. We all know. But the truth of it is, what people do with it is to be seen. But when John can't, you know, or repent, you know, or you're all shall likewise perish. They said, he's crazy, man. He's possessed. He's a devil. God wouldn't do that. See, he preached the wrath of God. And then in verse 19, it says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. He sat with the prostitutes. Jesus. He sat with people like me in years past, like when I was a drug addict, when I've been strung out in the street. Jesus Christ, He would have sat with me. He sat with the publicans, the tax collectors, the most hated people of that day. And people said, God wouldn't do that. They said, man, he's drunk. Man, he's a glutton. God wouldn't do that. You see, they didn't believe in the wrath of God and they didn't believe in the love of God. And I'm telling you right now, both are equal. Both are equal. And God's not about revenge. He's always in His wrath. It's always distributed or applied with the word avenge, meaning to make wrongs right, to wake people up. Why? Because they need to be woken up, because there's things that are coming that He knows and they just won't turn to Him. You don't have to go there. Psalm 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went on to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Pretty incredible. Amazing, you know, the two perspectives, the eternal, the earthly, and then the eternal. How man just, you know, it's just incredible. Revelation 20, 11 to 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And every man was judged according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'm going to preach here tonight the doctrine of hell. I believe this is what God wanted me to. I struggled with it a little bit. I did. I had two sermons for the last 3 days. And I'm like telling people, pray, pray, pray. But I believe this is God wants me to preach. And by the way, I did say at one point, I'm going to give you some prophecy. No matter where you are, you'll be included in this here tonight. Let's open up a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for God this day. The day that, Father, we know, Father, the one who made it, the one who created it. You are Heavenly Father, if we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. And as sure as the sun came up this morning, and Father, we'll go down tonight, we can, Father, think of thy faithfulness, thy promises, thy mercies, they are sure. Thy word, it is a rock. It is everlasting. So I pray, God, you, Father, would touch upon this service. I'm not going to say meet with us, because I believe, Father, I pray all of us have been walking with you, and this is just an extension of the day. And I ask, Father, as we're gathered here, and what a privilege, what an honor to serve and worship you, that you would, Father, touch upon it. And, Father, do something. Anoint this service. Anoint me, Father, for I can't do it. But I believe that you can, and I believe that you will, for your word says you are able. If there's anybody here tonight that isn't sure, Father, of the things that we're going to go over here tonight through thy pure, precious, eternal word, dear Lord, smote their hearts as only you can, Father, with love and mercy, and may they wake up to what needs to be done, enable them to see it. And Father, may I say, Father, if there's anybody here, Father, well, let me put it like this. Heavenly Father, I ask that you'd raise up some Calebs in this church. Father, if there's any spiritual grasshoppers here, like those of the 10 spies, I ask God that you would, Father, do what only you can and awaken them, that, Father, they'd sell out, they'd surrender unto thee. And with that said, I pray, Father, that, Lord, we would pray here tonight like Hezekiah when he prayed for extended days, and may they be sold out for you. May we pray like Elisha for an enduring power. For Father, without you, we can do nothing, no thing. And may we pray like Jabez for an enlarged coast. Use this church house, those that are in it. Father, Pastor Lely and his wife, give them wisdom and discernment. Father, as the under-shepherd and his helpmeet, Father, to lead this flock. And may, Father, it stand as a gospel lighthouse, a spiritual hospital, and may the word travel. For I know how great thou art. And Heavenly Father, Lord, whatever, Father, you do here tonight, we will give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, for you and you alone are worthy. And we want to thank you, Father, for, dear God, the cross of Calvary, which we sang about tonight. Lord Jesus, dying in our place, shedding his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And Father, did something so good and so great and so perfect. Father, you accepted it and rose him from the dead. Heavenly Father, giving us the eternal life if we repent and believe the gospel. Father, thank you once again. In the Lord Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This world does not want to hear about talk about hell anymore. It's amazing how many people are. I mean, I can't tell you some of the pastors that have given me books that they have written. I preached in a camp meeting for a couple of years in a row. And one of the pastors that was there, he's retired, he wrote a book. And you know what? He said, I don't believe in hell anymore. And I thought, wow. It's amazing. And, you know, we don't have a TV. I go on the internet and stuff. And so many of the people that are coming forth, that they don't believe in this. They don't preach in this much. They don't preach this much anymore. If you read the Bible, there's a great deal in it about the judgment of God. Jesus, when he spoke, he warned us of hell. Mark chapter 9 and verse 43, Jesus said, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Lord Jesus Christ spoke that if you have a red letter Bible. He's saying whatever is holding anybody up from getting saved from their sins, from turning to the Lord, you better get rid of it. Because it's going to be worth your while. You'll find out one way or the other, but you will find out. Many, many times hell is mentioned in the Bible. Churches today have either forgotten or just don't want to talk about it. They say God is love. And I saw a man the other day, I was looking at some things that we were interested in selling. It was just a divine appointment. And he believes we're all God's children. And that's, once again, that fuzzy, good feeling place. That sounds and feels really good. And I explained, no, we're God's creation, not God's children. And then the other one is, God is love and God is forgiving. Half a truth is still a lie, everybody. God is love, but God is holy, God is forgiving. But only to those that repent and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact of the matter is, everybody you know or see in your day-to-day life, throughout your whole life, is either going to heaven or going to hell. The only ones that are going to be going to heaven will be born again, as the Bible says we must do. John 3:7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again from above, from God spiritually." A gift. Can't earn it, can't work for it, can't achieve it. It's not about religion. It's about the gift of salvation. Can't do it if you become a church member, you get baptized, all the different things that the world says. We need to be adopted into the family of God. John 1:12, "But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." If a man or a woman is not born again or saved, same difference. He or she will spend an eternity in hell. For those of us that are saved, our sins are forgiven and we're being judged daily for what we do with our lives. For Christ, that'll come to a conclusion at the judgment bar of Christ, the Bema Seat. But in Revelation 20, this great white throne judgment, there are no saved people here. Only unsaved will be judged here. Notice it says small and great. It means the young and the old. It means the wealthy and the poor. It means the educated and the uneducated. It means the so-called beautiful people of the world and the so-called not-so-beautiful people of the world. It means kings and queens and paupers and peasants. It means everybody, small and great. I have heard people say many times that a loving God would not send somebody to hell in flames forever. Let me tell you, God does not send anybody to hell. The scriptures tell us people go to hell because they choose to. People who deny and reject the Lord Jesus Christ and the provision that God has made for salvation, they will be without excuse. You see, Jesus Christ has tasted death for all of us. And God does not send people to hell. He does not appoint people to hell. Number one, who's going? The wicked. I said in 9:17 of Psalms, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Who are the wicked? The Bible talks a lot about wicked people. Many times people don't like that phrase put upon them. Many will say they aren't. Sometimes it's even hard to find sinners. How do we look in God's eyes? Think about that. I preach in nursing homes, and I've always been blessed with nursing home ministry. I love it. I think it's wonderful. Usually it's their last address, and most don't have it right, and they're scared. And many times, you know what, and sometimes I see these 90, 94-year-old little elderly men and women in their wheelchairs, and they're so kind and everything, and I'll ask them, I'll say, what would you say if we could record your mind for a whole day? Record your mind. If we could. Take that recording down to the King of Prussia Mall, which is like one of the biggest malls on the East Coast, always floored with a lot of people, and play it over the loudspeaker system at 7 p.m. on a Friday night. You know what? Most of them, their eyeballs get real big, they enlarge. Why? Because they know what goes on in their heart, just like God knows what's on in their heart. We have sinned 6 souls. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Who are the wicked? Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The wicked are those who go their own way instead of God's way. They say, I will do what I want and not what God wants. If you have not trusted Jesus Christ, you are the wicked. You are going your own way. And let me say this. You are just as wicked in a church pew or on a bar stool if you have not submitted to the will of God and the cause of Christ. We just had the town floored, and I'll just name the religion, with Jehovah's Witness down in Redding. I mean, they come in, they boost Redding in Berks County, the money that comes in because they flood this Santander Arena. 5 weekends in a row. I mean, thousands and thousands. Motels and everything. They look good. They smell good. But you know what? They're like rocks. They wouldn't even talk to you. But I started putting my testimony track in front of them. I believe most of you have seen that top picture. And I said, this used to be me. And I can't tell you how many of them would go, that's unbelievable. They couldn't believe it. See, the religion, you know, I said, God gave me a new heart. I told them, I said, you need heart surgery. Your religion doesn't do that. And 2 Timothy 3:5 says you can have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. You know what? In my old bad life, I could get showered and dress nice and talk kind of respectfully. But you know what? My heart. I could never stop. But that power, the power of the resurrection that God gave me through the Holy Spirit freed me from everything and gave me the power to overcome. And you know what? How are you doing? I don't want no hands or anything, but I'm going to tell you what right now. I believe it's less, but I believe Jesus Christ and His goodness. Do you realize Jesus Christ looking at this church, you know what He'd say? He'd say, half of you are saved and half of you are lost. The 10 virgins. 5 had oil and 5 didn't. Think about that. Examine yourself. Make sure. Please listen to this tonight because this is a serious thing. And when it comes, it's going to come. When we pass from this life onto the next, there's no do-overs. The wicked are going to hell. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall he say, has anybody here ever had anybody say to him, they said it to me, I'm old enough, they say it when he's young, you're living like the devil. Anybody ever had that say to them? It's not a good picture, because Jesus says in 41, chapter 25, verse 41 of Matthew, "Then shall he say also unto them, On the left hand depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Men go because they go the way of the devil. It is not God's way. The truth of it is they're selfish. I hear a lot of people tell me they're having too good a time. They love their sin. They don't want to. They believe in God. They believe in heaven and hell. But they don't want to surrender. And I hear people, I know people just found out of somebody that he was the supervisor, and somebody that got saved told him, he said, you need to get saved. You know what? If something happened to you, you're going to end up in hell. And you know what he said? He was a very intelligent man. He was a colonel in the Air Force and 33 years old. And he said, there's too many skirts to chase. There's too many skirts. He said, when I get older, he said, I know you're right. He said, I believe in all of that. He was a little overweight, which I have to say that because that's what happened to him. He said, when I get older, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to get saved. 6 months later, he had a heart attack and he died. Never made it. Think about it. Selfish. I was selfish for 44 years. I would not submit to God, and I thank God I made it. And if you're not sure here today, you have an opportunity here today. Don't push off to tomorrow, which you can do today, because today's guaranteed right now. Tomorrow isn't. Is there really a hell? The Bible tells us that there is. And also, doesn't common sense tell us you always pay? Out in the world, they say what comes around goes around. Things are going to come back to haunt you. Pay back. Well, you hear that out in the street a lot. I preach in a lot of prisons that the snitches get stitches and end up in ditches. That rings a bell with a lot of people out in the street in the dark world. You know what? A lot of people are waiting for the hammer to drop because they know they got away with a lot, and they're just wondering. Something's just telling them what's going to happen because of it. And the truth of it is, it's a law in this world that can't be broken. Can be overpowered for a while. But Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, for God shall not be mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Numbers 32:23. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And common sense even tells us, one day things will be made right. Let me also say this to you, everybody. There's people that are getting away with a lot. I see somebody in Rennie, and I know him. He's a big guy. And he stands on the corner sometimes. I haven't seen him in a little while, but he's always smiling. He has apartment buildings. He has bodegas. You know, he's Spanish. His wife's a hard worker, makes a lot of food. He's got garages filled with Corvettes. He's one of those drug dealers that dealt real big on the world stage and never got caught, never got busted. And he has more money than a horse has hairs. Probably more money buried than most of us would be able to dig up in the rest of our lives. And he's happy. He's smiling every time I see him. I've witnessed to him and I've talked to him. But the truth of it is, one day he will pay. He will not get away with it. Nobody will. And there are a lot of people that are getting away with a lot. But God's going to make everything right one day. There is a hell. The Bible says so. Number two, the wicked have chosen to go to hell. You're going to see how good God is to us, everybody. You will not go because God does not love you. The Bible says that He does. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Billy Sunday called John 3:16 the little Bible. You can lead somebody to the Lord using that. 1 John 4:19, we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. There's many, 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 many more. If you go to hell, it won't be because He didn't love you. Because there is a way to escape hell. John 14:6, Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. There is a way to escape hell. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you go to hell, it won't be because you couldn't escape it. If you go to hell, it won't be because God didn't love you. If you go to hell, it won't be because God didn't choose you to be saved. God does not choose who is saved and who is lost. God doesn't say, well, I'll choose this one to be saved and this one to go to heaven and this one to go to hell. Acts 17:30, and by the way, salvation is a commandment, everybody. I don't know if you ever look at it like that, but Acts 17:30, at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repent. And that's something else the world's getting away from. I know a couple preachers, one in Canada, one down in Florida. They're not getting invited back to churches because they preached on repentance. The world doesn't like it. I know a big organization in this United States that the new hymn books, they've changed all the words everywhere in the book that repent that had repentant in the old hymnal. You know what? Just making it real easy. And you know what? It's a serious thing. 2 Peter 3:9, God, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. John 6:37, Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Why would He tell you you could be saved if you couldn't? God is not the author of confusion, everybody. Jesus Christ died for every man and every woman, and you can be saved if you will. If you will. I said the wicked have chosen hell. It comes back to sowing and reaping. When people choose a life of sin, they live a life of things that hell is filled with. The wicked have chosen separation from God rather than fellowship with God. The Bible says one thing about wicked men is God is not in all their thoughts. They do not want to fellowship with God. Isn't it amazing? I go to a lot of funerals. It's incredible what I hear at funerals, everybody. It's amazing. Everybody's going to get up there one day. Everybody. Everybody. Just keep coming to church and do good and you'll eventually make it. It's absolutely mind-boggling what the world is telling people. And they want it. What is hell? Jesus said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. How about when Jesus said the rich man also died and was buried and in hell lift up his eyes being in torments and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then verse 24, and he cried unto Abraham and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus, let me dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Hell is a place of flame, fire, but is also a place of separation from God. Never again can you call upon God for mercy. No more grace. No more fellowship with God. Separated for eternity from Him, from God. That is hell. Think about this. If you die without Christ, you go to a place where you have nothing to do with God. You know what some of the people, they've blasphemed God. They've thrown Bibles I know of in the fireplace that was burning. They didn't want nothing to do with Him down there. But yet when they die, the preacher, the pastor says, He's up there in heaven. He's going to spend eternity with God. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. I always tell people, this is dress rehearsal for the next life. You got to get it right. Here's a man or a woman in this life. You try to talk to them about God, about Christ, and they say, we don't want anything to do with religion. We don't want anything to do with the church. What are they saying? I don't want anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ or God. That is the condition of hell, everybody. Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. He gives us what we want. He turns us over, everybody. Wicked people choose anger and bitterness. This world's filled with anger. Have you noticed that? The rage, the violence, the protests, the road rages. It's unbelievable. But people choose anger and bitterness rather than peace and rest. How many people do you know living a life of bitterness? Lost people, angry over something somebody did to them. They have no peace. Mention it and they blow up. If not outwardly, inwardly. They get so mad. No rest. That is what hell is filled with. You want to live angry? You want to live like that in your heart here? When you die, you go to a place, Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night. Isaiah 57:21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There are those who would rather be bitter, angry, want to get even, rather than have rest that is in forgiveness. And that is what it'll be like in hell. Wicked people choose the darkness of sin rather than the light of Christ. Men would rather cover run and cover and excuse themselves. John chapter 3 and verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. People don't want to love the church because they don't want to face up to sin. My old hangarounds, they don't want to see me anymore. Why? They'd rather run, cover their sin. I remember I saw a few years ago at a Halloween parade, and we were giving out tracts. One of the biggest on the East Coast, it used to be in Hamburg, Pennsylvania. And I'll never forget this one girl that I graduated with, Linda. And when I saw her, she quick put her hand behind her back. And you know what? She had a 16-ounce, I don't know, old Milwaukee or Bush or old Michelob or something. It was a beer. But just, she knew where I was. And I'll never forget that. She just felt convicted and hid that beer. So listen, she's lost. She can do whatever she wants. But just the fact of being, I pray that I'm always right with God, prayed up, read up the best I can. And that's the thing about God. Even when we do mess up, He will always do what is right and what is needed. But people, He will use us as vessels, and people will know. And that's a wonderful picture for us. They love darkness more than they love light. Let me remind you what hell is like. Jude verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Men choose darkness rather than light. That's what is in hell. Then wicked people choose the company of sinners rather than the company of saints. Jesus loved the church, and any person who says they are saved but has trouble fellowshipping with God's people, how much confidence can you give them? Here's what's in hell. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know what? That includes all of us. We've all told a lie. No matter how bad some of those people are. You know, I also said earlier, what a wonderful thing to hear about you go out on Saturdays, knocking on doors, giving tracts out. Do you do things? You know, it's interesting, and this is just kind of like a rabbit trail. In Luke chapter 16, it talks about the dishonest steward. What's a steward? You know what? He is to take care of things. He's to do things. And, you know, God's going to take his stewardship, and he runs around, and he tells people, how much do you owe me? Listen, and then he says, listen, write this. He wants to look better. He gains favor with the world. He gains favor with the people, with money. And I heard a pastor say, you know, I owe $30,000 for my truck. And he said, if I'm one day late, Chase, he said, why, that's really, they really named them, that credit company, that credit card, right, because he said, they chase you. He said, they come right for me. But he said, if they would come to me and say, listen, you know, $30,000, forget about that. Just give me 10. Say that you owe us 10. We'll accept that. He said, man, I'd love them. And you know, Jesus says, when you do those things, when you're friends with the world, he said, ye will fail. You will fail no matter how good you feel right now. And then if you go back to Matthew 25, that's the parable of the 10 virgins. Five have oil, five don't. That's a picture of the church people. Examine your heart, because we're supposed to look at ourselves, we're supposed to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, everybody. And I don't see a lot of people doing that. I really don't. Because when you're with Christ, I'm telling you, the bombarding from the spiritual world is incredible, everybody. If you're doing things. And I'm not here to make anybody doubt, but make you think. I don't want to seem like I'm bashing anybody, but right after the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, it's the parable of the talents. He gives one 5, he gives one 2, and he gives another one 1. And the one with 5, when Jesus comes back, he's made 5. He has 10. And then the one that he gave 2, when Jesus comes back, he has 4. But the one that had one talent, he dug a hole and he hid it. And you know what he says in that in Matthew 25? He says, I knew thee, that thou art a man that reaps where he does not sow, that thou art an austere man. He says, I knew thee. You see, that talent is a picture of what God's given us. We all have abilities. Some of you don't get around very well. I know it. Age isn't kind. But you can pray. You can call up and encourage people. When you do get out, you go to the doctor. You can hand out gospel tracts. See, God's always asking for his faithfulness. And there's people not doing anything. And I'd be careful about that. Because there's times I don't want to do anything. I hate to say that, but I'm being transparent with you. But I do. Why? Because I know God wants me to. And you realize the man that he didn't do anything with what God gave him? God took it from him and gave it to the one that had 10. And he cast him into hell. I'll tell you what. People are taking this Christian walk way too lightly, everybody. They are. Because God's asking for faithfulness. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I see a lot of people. You know what many churches? I'm in a big church. We run 1,000. Almost most churches, 20% of the people do 100% of the work. There's a picture underneath that. And I'm not here to judge, but I'm here to give you some facts and some statistics. And people are just like blowing along and stinking, everything's okay. Be careful. This is not a joke. I'm giving you the future of those that aren't born again, that do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them, that are not covered in the righteousness of God. Wicked people choose what's in hell. Hell is filled with sinners who never repented. Are you getting this picture, everybody? God doesn't send people to hell. He doesn't choose people to go to hell. Now, I said I'd give you some prophecy. Are you saved? Listen, there's something on your calendar. It's in the future. This is in the future for every single person. Prophecy is future events. It's on the calendar, everybody. It's going to come to pass. You see, I spoke about Revelation 20, 11 to 15, the great white throne judgment. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. Do you realize hell is the holding cell? Hell's the city jail. You're arrested and you're arraigned. And then one day, everything's going to be brought up to this final place for a certain time. It's going to be called the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment is going to be the court of no appeals. It is going to be the federal penitentiary of the universe. Who's going to be on this? I said a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Him, I believe, is going to be Jesus Christ himself. You know what? If you go back, I think it might be Revelation. Forgive me if I'm not wrong. I just thought of this. Revelation chapter 4. You know what? At the throne, there's men. Heaven is noisy. There's people worshiping God. They're saying all sorts of things. There's lightning. There's thunderings. There's a rainbow around the throne where Jesus Christ is sitting. But right here, right now, he is alone. 5:22 of John. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Capital S-O-N, red letter. It's like Jesus says, I want everybody to get away from me. I'm going to do this all alone. It's going to be so electric, the cosmos. Heaven and earth are going to be trying to flee. Let me say this, where will it be? I don't believe it'll be on the earth. I don't believe it'll be up in the third heaven. I believe it will be up there in the midst of the second heaven, up in outer space. I believe this great white throne is going to be sitting there by the power, the omnipotent power of God Almighty himself. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. They say roughly, we can agree to disagree, 48 billion people in the last 6,000 years have been on this earth. I said half and half, parable of the five of the 10 virgins. 5 had oil, 5 didn't. That means 5 were lost, 5 were saved. But they were all waiting for the Lord. Let's cut that in half. 24 billion people are going to be at this great white throne judgment, standing on nothing except held up there in space by the omnipotent hand of God Almighty. 24 billion people will be a line. You will not see the end of it. You will not see the end of it. Oh, there'll be people in that. There'll be all walks, all talks in that line. I believe Pol Pot, Mao Tse-tung. I believe Khrushchev. I believe Stalin. I believe John Wayne Gacy. I believe Adolf Hitler. Oh, it goes on and on and on. Butchers from the past to the present. But you know what? There might even be that precious 17-year-old girl that gave you cream and sugar for your coffee when you went to the coffee shop. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people that say, I don't believe it. You know what? Verse 13. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. There's a lot of people that say, you know what? I don't believe it. 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. Yeah, I believe it. This judgment that's going to take place at this great white throne. You see, do you realize this whole world was a sea in the days of Noah? The whole world was an ocean. All the people that died, they're down there. Doesn't matter what happened to them. They have an appointment and they will be at this great white throne. Robert Kennedy, when he got killed, he was cremated and his ashes were thrown in the ocean. Do you realize he has an appointment? He will be there. Martin Goodman, the inventor of Marvel comic books, when he died, he was cremated and his ashes were put in the next edition of one of the Marvel comic books. Should I tell you something? He has an appointment. He will be there. Everybody will be there. Why another judgment? Aren't all guilty? There's going to be different levels of punishment, everybody. I just said to you in Revelation 20, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. And remember I said earlier about there's things in the air that God has given animals. I mean, just right now, in the last 2 weeks, little monarch butterflies and little hummingbirds, they just knew how to fly 3,000 miles down to a little place in Mexico to gather and hang out. They just knew to do that. Do you realize right now in this world, the number one and number two fears in the human race are to burn and to drown? And I'm talking about the lake of fire is the end of those that know not the Lord. Burn, drown, lake of fire. Burn, drown, lake of fire. They say stars are balls of burning liquid. You realize a bunch of years ago out in Washington State when Mount St. Helens blew, they said, I forget, Hiroshima and Nagasaki were like 3 kiloton atomic bomb. Mount St. Helens was almost like 50 times that. They said when it blew. And then the lava came down at 100 miles an hour, 2,000 degrees, burn up melted everything in its path. Liquid fire. They say the sun is 25 million degrees in the center. They say 10 million degrees on the outside. A ball of burning liquid. They say they're studying black holes. They're a star that gives off no light. They say they're 100 million degrees. It's a ball of burning gas. Liquid. Different temperatures, different degrees. Matthew chapter 10, in verse 14 and 15, the Word of God says, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or your city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 to 24. Jesus foretells judgment. Then began he to upbraid, rebuke the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Verse 21, Jesus says, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, They would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes, but I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum. Do you realize Capernaum was the home base? Only one time did Jesus Christ go out of Capernaum. And that was a Canaanitish woman, I think, in Matthew 15. Those were his boundaries. Do you know all the miracles that he did? Unbelievable. John says all the books of the world, if they were all documented, wouldn't be able to hold them. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Sodom and Gomorrah are suffering the vengeance of eternal fire because of their propensity for strange flesh. But God says they didn't have much to go on, but they're still burning in hell. They only had backslidden Lot, Abraham's nephew, and it has no record of him leading anybody to the Lord. But you know what? God still punished him. But he says, Capernaum, you saw so much. You had so many miracles in front of you that I did, and you rejected me. Your punishment is going to be so great compared to Sodom and Gomorrah, you won't even believe it. And the truth of it is, there's people that we talk to over and over and over, and they reject us, they blaspheme us, they don't know it, but they're damning their souls so far deep down into hell, they won't even believe it one day. How do you know this? Well, it's always good to have Scripture to back up. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Have you ever talked to somebody till you were blue in the face and they just acted the same way and you walked away? You didn't do anything or say anything, but you walked away and you went like this. Can't believe it. That's God. Wrath stored up against the day of wrath. Every time somebody's told about what his precious son did for them and they mock or they laugh, God turns and he goes, one day it's going to be unleashed. Wrath stored up until the day of wrath. Things are coming, everybody. You might say, well, I don't have to worry, preacher. No wrath is going to come upon me. No condemnation on us because we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God for that. But should I tell you something? I believe you and I are going to be here. And not only that, this time of the great white throne judgment, do you know what it's really all about? Such beautiful, good, great, precious, holy, righteous things are coming in. The bad, the ugly, the sinful and the wicked is going to have to be taken out. You see, that's the other thing about all these people. You and I won't believe the looks on their faces. Why? Don't you realize there's not going to be any more revelation? Revelation means things are coming into knowledge. Or we have the revelation of hope. This is going to be at the end. There is nothing else. And all these people will realize there's nothing else to look to grasp onto. The looks on their faces are going to be horrifying. All these people, everybody. Because they're going to be awakened to this reality. Think about it. Heaven and earth are trying to get away. The sea gave up the dead were in it. It's like God's word. The earth spews, vomits the things of people back to God because they fear Him so much. They obey Him. It's going to be radical, everybody. We're all going to be there. Now for us, for we who are saved, listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? If you're saved, you're a saint. You know that, don't you? Man doesn't make saints. God makes saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Psalm 116, I think, verse 15. And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? I believe that's information too. We should be judging right now, judging righteously. Be careful. We're not supposed to be doing something and then pointing the finger at somebody doing the same thing. No, we're supposed to be right with God. And we're always supposed to do it with love and mercy, but always truth. And in verse 3, know ye not that we shall judge angels? That word judge there means jury. Jury. What's a jury? You ever see a courtroom, a jury? They're onlookers. You know, they're there to judge, but they're onlookers. How much more things pertain to this life? And I believe it might be something like this. In space, everything held, nothing underneath anything, but the omnipotent power of God Almighty Himself holding everything up, the great white throne, the line of people, there'll be angels there doing the work as far as where they're going to be sentenced, the people. But I believe in view of all this, there might be like a grandstand where we'll be sitting. Remember I said, jury, we're going to be watching. Now, think about this. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman. We're supposed to be watchmen. We're supposed to be looking. Certainly we're looking for the glorious hope, but we're supposed to be tending to the things of the Lord. What? To reach the lost. People need the Lord. Most of us here probably got saved by God, but through somebody else as a tool, as a vessel. You know, or somebody gave a track or something. It's just how God does it. He doesn't need us, but He wants us. And when we get saved, we're not saved to sit, we're saved to serve. But He says, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Did you understand that? God's saying when somebody's going to die, and I tell you that they're going to die, you better go tell them about me, that they can turn to be saved. And then he says in verse 19, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. We're not going to be held accountable. Do you understand that, everybody? Do you witness? Do you give out tracts? Do you proclaim the gospel? Do you name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because I'll tell you right now, in this world, it bothers people. You can mention God, spirituality, higher power, but you start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll tell you what, feathers get ruffled, without a doubt, because it's a name above all names. It's the way God has set it in motion. Put this in the New Testament. Acts 20, verse 26. This is the Apostle Paul. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. You know what Apostle Paul's saying? I have told everybody that I am supposed to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ, about His death, burial, and resurrection. I have told everybody that God wanted me to tell. Are you doing that? The people in your family, the people in your life, your neighbors, are you taking the opportunity? And I believe with all of us, if you are willing to obey Him, He'll burden your heart to speak to somebody, to reach out to somebody, to give them a track. Are you doing that? You see, think about this great white throne. You're sitting there. You're watching these people, one by one, coming up. And you can hear them saying this and that. And you know what? Then they'll open up the book of life. Name was not written in it. And maybe you're sitting there in that third person. The third from the front. You're like, that looks almost familiar. They look almost familiar, and it progresses front. Now the third person is the second person, and you're like, oh, I believe I know who that is. And now the second person is the first person. Here's that girl down from the coffee shop. Precious. You loved her. You used to stop there. Why? Because she was just so sweet and precious. How she used to take care of you. Cream, sugar, just beautifully precious. But she didn't know the Lord. And you know why? You're thinking, I can't believe it, because I never gave her a track. I never told her about her soul. And she comes and she stands in front of Christ in the white judgment. You can hear her saying, but I believed in you. I got baptized when I was little. I went to church. I did this. I did that. And there's Jesus sitting in front of her on this great white throne. The nail prints in his hands and his feet are visible. Oh my. He laid his life down for her and everybody else that's in that line. And they open the book. An angel opens up the book of life and they look for her name. And he says, it is not written in here. It's closed. And Christ says, looks at her and points and says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. And just as the angels are coming to take her away to her final abode, the Bible doesn't say this, but I wonder if her eyes might cross that grandstand and see you and just so quickly go, why didn't you tell me? And off she goes. You see, it's after this that God will wipe away all tears from all of us. Revelation 21. Are you living with this picture of this, what's in the future, and you and I are going to be there in your mind? It's not a joke. It's going to be radical. You and I are going to be there. We witness to people and they don't accept that that's not on us, but we have a job to do. And the Bible says work. Work, because the night's coming when no man can work. John 9:4. You see, number three, God stands between the wicked and hell, between the living and the dead. How much are we loved by God? He sent His Son. He was beaten. I know a couple of years ago I went into detail. Man, I don't see nobody talk about it. What He went through, beaten, bruised, and bloodied. He was naked. He was naked. High up on a cross, they spit at Him, they mocked Him, they laughed. He was unashamed for you and I. He was unashamed for you and I when He died. How are you when you go out into the world? I don't think it's all that easy, everybody. But you know what? I want to love Him more than I love myself. Sometimes I say, I don't want to go over there. And yet I can hear, just, I know God say, yeah, I want you to. I want to be unashamed for Him because He was unashamed for us. Man, you can give out a gospel tract. Don't you realize what that's going to do for you one day when you're there? You don't want to get there and say, boy, I wish I would have done it. Sure, we're saved. Sure, Christ is our Lord and Savior. Sure, we're in heaven. But I'll tell you what. There's going to be some people that are going to be kicking themselves all over heaven. Why? Because they're not going to get this and they're not going to get that on the other side because they didn't do this or that down here. It's real, everybody. The picture I just tried to paint for you. You see, Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Ezekiel 33:11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? We who are saved must stand with God between the wicked and hell. That's why we're here, everybody. Somebody needs to tell them about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a choice. People can deny Him, but they can never disprove Him. It's real. It's real, everybody. Heaven and hell. And this great white throne judgment, there's something in this here for everybody here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Are you living with this in mind? Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, God, for, Lord, Thy goodness. For Your mercy endureth forever.